Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. It says, I'm reading from the ESV. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So this morning, we are going to be reminded and to learn about three truths. The first is about the curse of the law. What is this curse of the law that the scripture is talking to us about? The second is the blessing of Abraham. And the third is the promise of the Spirit. So when the scriptures in this context talk about the law, it's referring to the law that was given to the children of Israel in the Old Testament. And that law is summarized in the Ten Commandments. Everything about the law is summarized in the Ten Commandments. And you can read about that. Exodus 20, verse 2 and 27, and Deuteronomy 5, verses 6 to 21. These are the Ten Commandments, which are in turn summarized in two by the Lord Jesus. When he was tested by a lawyer who asked him, what is the greatest commandment or law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he says, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments belong all the law and the prophets. That's in Matthew chapter 22. So the whole of the Old Testament hangs on just those two commandments. One of the purposes of the law was to teach us that we need a savior. On our own, there's nothing that we can bring to God that will make us acceptable to him. And in other words, when we are left to ourselves, we cannot please God in any way. Why is that? God is holy. God is perfect. And everyone who approaches him must approach him in such conditions. And as humanity, we are fallen. And there's no way that we are acceptable on our own. So now that we know what the law is, we need to look at the curse of the law. But then there's another word there, a curse. So in the context of scripture, a curse was any pronouncement that was made on anyone. It was a pronouncement of doom. Something bad was going to happen to you, as opposed to a blessing where something good was to happen to you. So, what is this curse of the law? In short, it is relying on our own efforts, on our own strength, to do things which we believe are pleasing and will make us acceptable before God. Now, we live in Zambia, a Christian nation by constitution, and I've had the privilege of asking many people whether they are Christian or not, and the first response is what? When you ask people if they are a Christian in Zambia, what do they say? Yes, absolutely. We all say, yes, I'm a Christian. I only met one young lady whom I said, hey, are you a believer? Says, what's that? I said, do you believe in Jesus? She goes, no. For me, Jesus is like a distant relative. I said, oh, okay. But there are very few people like that. We all say yes. And why is that? I go on and ask for reasons. Why do you believe you are a Christian? And the answers that people give range from, I was born in a Christian family, so that makes me a Christian and acceptable to God. I give tithes at church. I even go to church. I sing in the praise team. Maybe I even preach the word of God. I feed the hungry. I clothe the poor, and so on and so forth. And now, at this point, maybe a scripture may come to your mind where Jesus, in the book of Matthew again, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, Jesus is giving a parable about the king when he comes back, and there are these sheep and the goats, and he's saying, you people who did, who fed the poor, who clothed the naked and so forth, come into the kingdom. And actually it sounds like they are being accepted in eternal life because of those things. That's what that scripture looks at face value. But that's not what the point was. The reason why those people were commended is because they are blessed of the Father. That's what the scripture says in the book of Matthew. Come, you blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Now, as a result of that, they were able to do those works, and therefore the king accepted them. Now, we are saying the case of the law is us believing that what we do on our own, like all these things we have mentioned, that it makes us acceptable. We make that as a basis, as a foundation that God will take us in eternal life. If that's you today, know that you are living under a curse. All right? And it says right there in the scripture that we read, if you read in verse 10 and verse 11, it says, cursed be everyone who does not abide by what? All things. And it says all things, not just some of them. Everything you have to follow perfectly. Those that are written in the book of the law and do them. Now, it is evident, verse 11, it's clear that no man is justified before God by the law. Why? Because we have all sinned and fallen short of his glory. All right? If you don't agree with that, just wait until the end of the day. You would have transgressed in one way or another before the Lord. Now, take the second commandment, for example, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Some of us may have already broken that just this morning. Chances are you will break it. So no human, past, present, future, can ever honestly, looking at their heart, come to God and say, I am okay the way I am, and in my own strength, I can come to you and you should accept me. So God says no, because you have to do it perfectly, and none of us line up with that. And therefore, God cannot give us eternal life as a result. That's the bad news. So the bad news is the curse of the law. If we are depending on ourselves that God will accept us, we are cursed. But God always provides a solution to the human condition. He did that way before the foundation of the earth. It says, we have the what? The blessing of Abraham. And that's our second truth this morning. The blessing of Abraham. And this is found in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I'll show you. And he says, I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So the blessing of Abraham finds its ultimate fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the seed of Abraham. You have been reading Galatians. You've met that term, the seed of Abraham, the redeemer of the world. So anyone, not just the Jews, including us Gentiles, who come to Jesus in repentance and in faith, we are made part of his kingdom. That's the blessing of Abraham. And those who reject him are left out. So again, Paul takes us to the importance of grace as opposed to keeping the law. He says, Abraham was justified by what? By faith. The time that Abraham lived, the law had not even been instituted. It was some 430 years before Abraham, after Abraham, that the law came into being. But Paul explains in Galatians 3:17 that it is those who have the kind of faith that Abraham had that are truly children of Abraham, even if they are Gentiles. This is the fulfillment of the blessing of Abraham and God's promise that even through Abraham, all peoples would be blessed. All peoples, that's you and me today, right? We can call on God as our Father because he has made it possible through the blessing of Abraham that we can call on his name. Jesus, the seed of Abraham, was crucified on the cross so that the curse of the law, the pronouncement that you and I cannot please God by keeping his law, should be separated from him forever, was reversed for us to enjoy his presence forever. So basically, he took our place. Why? Because Jesus was without sin and God accepted that. You and I, in on our own, cannot do that, cannot approach God in our sinfulness and be accepted. And we do that by putting our faith, our trust in God, just like Abraham did. And the door is open even today for you and I to do that, to go to God and say, hey, I'm cursed. Because why? I try to do all these things on my own. And by the way, that was me some 36 years ago. The church that I went to, we did good things, right? We visited the sick. We gave to the poor. I considered myself a good girl. Good girl meaning what? Well, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't sleep around. So you think, hey, I'm okay. And God accepts me. The Lord had to open my eyes and say, your own righteousness, right? This thing in you where you think you are okay before me because of the things you are doing, it's nothing before me until you approach me on the basis of the cross of Jesus. And I had to bow down and say, yes, Lord, on my own, I'm nothing. I'm separated from you. And I gave my life to the Lord. The other truth that we have been given in the passage under consideration is the promise of the Spirit. Now that we know what the law is, what the curse of the law is, God still gives us the promise of the Spirit. Now, throughout the scriptures from the Old Testament, you can read and just do a study on the promise of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. God had been promising the outpouring of his Spirit on his people. For example, John 16 verses 13 to 14, Jesus assured the disciples, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. Again, in Acts 1:8, we are told, but you will receive power, the Lord, before he went to heaven, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What's the power for? You shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So the fulfillment of the outpouring of the Spirit of God was on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. After that, we see the apostles being very bold, and they go out without fear, speaking and living out the power of the Lord through them. What about you and me? Have we received the Holy Spirit, and how do we even do that? There are many understandings of this by different people and denominations, but here is what Scripture says. At the moment you believe in Christ and say, Jesus, come into my heart, I want to live for you, at that very moment you receive the Holy Spirit. And that you can find in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Ephesians 1 verse 13. Here is what it says. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So if you are born again, meaning you have accepted Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life, the promised Spirit is in you. Now, the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to bear fruit, so that we can be witnesses. That's what he says. When we receive the Spirit, we shall be witnesses. Witnesses of the truth and the transforming power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who are here who are born again, all of you have a story you can tell of how when Christ came into your heart, your whole life was transformed. Right? You should have a testimony like that. If not, chances are you may not be born again. So check your heart. Have you been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit? So what is this that the Holy Spirit brings about in us? We can find that in Galatians itself, chapter 5 and verse 22. It tells us the fruit that the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit produces in people who have been born again, who in whose life the curse of the law has been lifted. Here is what it says. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. All right? So, how are you doing in those areas? In the fruit of the Spirit being manifested in your life so that you can be a witness for the Lord Jesus. An absence of the Spirit, of the fruit of the Spirit in one's life, is normally marked by acts of sin in a person's life. An absence of the fruit of the Spirit in one's life is normally marked by the presence of many sins in people's lives. The Bible calls those the works of the flesh, right? So it's a juxtaposition. If you are not in the fruit of the Spirit, you are living in the works of the flesh. And again, Galatians chapter 5 verse 18 tells us, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. And it says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Right? So the word of God is encouraging us. Have we been sealed with the Holy Spirit by coming to Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives? If not, right, we will live in the works of the flesh. I hope and pray that's not you today. And apart from that warning, there's another scripture in the book of 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 to 11, verses 8 to 10. And it's very interesting. The purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to help us to be sanctified, to become more and more like Jesus, right? Paul's prayer was that Christ be formed in him, that each day as he is living, he would be glorifying God. If that is not happening in each of our lives, chances are we are not born again. Listen to what 1 John 3 verse 8 says. 1 John chapter 3 and verses 8 to 10. I'll start from there, but in your time, please read the whole chapter to get the context. It says, whoever makes a practice of sinning, the things that we mentioned, the works of the flesh, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this, it is evident that who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. All right. So there it is. Maybe the reason why some among us may be struggling with some of these things. Okay. Now, you might say, wait a minute, none of us is perfect. We all sin. Yes. And that's what the Bible says. Right. And if we sin, we confess our sin, and our God is faithful and just to forgive. On the other hand, you cannot continue living in sin, as we have read, and say that you are a child of God. You should be changing. If 3 years ago, lying came naturally to you, it shouldn't come that way, as you are growing in Christ each day by the power of the Holy Spirit who is in you. The Holy Spirit is effective in our lives. So if we are failing, then as we have been told, we are not born again, and we need to cry out to the Lord that he helps us. Or at some point we gave our lives to the Lord and we've turned our back on him, and we need to go back and say, Father, I'm willing to go on. Help me, fill me anew with your Holy Spirit. In summary, we have seen that none of us is acceptable before God because we are sinners. We are unrighteous. No one pleases God. We are enemies of God. That's a bad thing, to be an enemy of God. You don't want that in your life. If any of us relies on our own and we take what we do in our own strength as the basis and foundation of being acceptable to God, of gaining eternal life, the Bible is saying you are under a curse, right? And actually, the curse is you will not live with God eternally. You are outside of his kingdom. That's the bad news. But there's good news. God has provided a way out of the curse of the law by sending the Lord Jesus, and he redeemed us from the curse. He looks at Jesus and what he did, so that when I come to Jesus and asking God to accept me, God looks at Jesus and says, okay, you're okay. You can come in, because my son has accomplished that which you cannot bring to me on your own. So we stand clean before God if we believe in what Jesus did on the cross as a basis of our acceptance to God. And at the point of our salvation, God sealed us with the Holy Spirit, The purpose of the Holy Spirit is so that we are witnesses, right? When you do things, others see that, that man, that woman, exemplifies the fruit of the Spirit in their life. We are empowered to love. We are empowered to be joyful, to be patient, right? To be kind, to do or to bear the fruit of the Spirit because of the amazing power of Jesus in our lives. And it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. How? By being willing for the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in us. And you won't get there if you don't read the Word of God, because it's the means that God uses to change us each day. We are human beings. We forget things, so we need to be renewed in our minds. Romans 12, verse 1 talks about that each day, so that I'm growing in producing, as the Holy Spirit works in me to produce this fruit that others may see and glorify the Father. I hope and pray that the Lord has spoken, and that his word, which does not return void to him, has accomplished the reason why he sent it. Please, if you hear the word of the Lord, it says, do not harden your heart. Do not be ashamed of him. Go to him. God is willing to meet us wherever we are, and is able to do much more than we could ever ask or think in our lives. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We bless your name, that Lord, you love us. You didn't leave us orphans. That Lord, you continue to reach out to each one of us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for each one of us. What a gift. Lord, help us not to rely on ourselves as a means, as a basis, as a foundation of being acceptable before you. We come to you believing by faith, just as Abraham believed, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. We believe in the work of Christ, and thank you for those of us who have done that and put our faith in him. Thank you for the sealing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray that you help us, Lord, each day to look to you for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that we can keep in step and live with him. Thank you for promising us eternal life, that one day when we leave this earth, we shall come to you and be with you forever. What a glorious day that will be. And that is reality for most of us here, and for those whom you continue to call in your kingdom. At this point, I just want to pray specifically for people. And please, while our eyes are closed, don't you be looking at others. You are here by yourself. You died after we get out of this amphitheater. Where are you going? Where are you going? And are you sure about that? I want to pray for people who say, you know what? I think God has spoken. I don't know if I died today that I would be with the Lord. Or I promised to live with Jesus a long time ago, and somehow things have just gotten into the way. The works of the flesh in me are preventing me from being a witness of Jesus. Is there anyone here? If there is, just lift your hands. No one looking around, please. You are here by yourself. Anybody? I want to pray. Okay, I see some hands. You can put down your hands. Okay, all right. Lord, I thank you for these people whom you've touched this morning. And Father, they are willing. They've come to you in humility, and they want to start a new life with you. I pray that you help them by the power of your Holy Spirit, that Father, from this day onward, those that are saved, you give them the desire to study your word each morning and be connected, living in step with the Spirit. Those that are not saved, that this will be a starting point of a new life in Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. So for those of you who lifted your hands, please see Pastor Mbanga. He'll be able to help you. All right. You can see me. I'm not at campus a lot, but you can write an email. We can arrange to meet and I can help you. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't be. Right? If you are saved, live for Him. Bear the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. God bless you.